This is a special edition of 1010 Thrive, a part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible. The prophet Isaiah was born in the capital city of Jerusalem. He was from a wealthy and influential family, and his father, Amoz, was also a prophet. We begin today's episode in the year that King Uzziah, the 10th king of Judah, died. Isaiah is walking through a busy marketplace. People are discussing the political and social turmoil of the times.
Every day, it's the same news. Assyria grows stronger, and our leaders seem blind to the danger.
It's not just the threat of Assyria. Have you seen the corruption in the courts? Justice is sold to the highest bidder.
Look at them. Thieving merchants. While the rich fill their pockets, the poor can barely afford a measure of bread. Where is the righteousness our fathers spoke of?
And the temple? It's more about grand ceremonies now than heartfelt worship. I fear we've lost our way.
Do you think the prophets are right? That our moral decay will lead to our downfall?
If we don't heed their warnings, I dread what might become of us. But who listens to them? The words of the prophets are like whispers in a storm.
Perhaps it will take a storm to awaken us. I pray that it's not too late for Judah.
Isaiah is troubled by the conversations. He enters the temple, seeking solace in the presence of the Lord. Little does he know, his life is about to change forever. Soon after Isaiah enters the temple, he sees a vision of the Lord, sitting on a high and exalted throne, with the train of his robe filling the temple.
What is this? Where are these voices coming from? Are those... What am I seeing? What manner of creatures are these?
Isaiah sees seraphim, angelic beings, standing above the Lord. Each seraph has 6 wings, with 2 they cover their faces, with 2 they cover their feet, and with 2 they fly. The seraphim proclaim the holiness of God.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
Do not fear, Isaiah. You are in the presence of the Almighty.
The foundations of the thresholds shake at the voice of the seraphim, and the temple is filled with smoke. Isaiah becomes aware of his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of his people.
It's all over. I'm doomed, for I am a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips.
Do not be afraid, Isaiah.
My Lord and my God, have mercy on me. I have seen the King, I have seen the Lord, and I am still alive.
One of the seraphim flies to Isaiah, with a live coal in hand, taken from the altar with tongs. The seraph touches Isaiah's mouth with the coal.
Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away. Your sins are forgiven.
I do not deserve this mercy.
This act symbolizes the purification of Isaiah, making him fit for God's service. After this, God speaks to Isaiah.
Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?
I don't know where you want me to go or what you want me to do, but I stand here as your faithful servant. Lord, here I am. Send me.
Go and say to this people, Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed.
How long, O Lord? How long do you want me to prophesy on your behalf?
Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth or an oak, whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is its stump.
God's message is largely one of judgment. The people will hear but not understand, see but not perceive. Isaiah is to preach until the cities are laid waste and the land is desolate. God ends with a note of hope. The land may be laid to waste, but as a terebinth or oak leaves a stump when it is cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land, symbolizing a remnant that will survive.
I will go. I will prophesy. I will tell the people of your infinite greatness. I will call them to redemption.
Isaiah's calling provides profound insights into God's redemptive plan for humanity. Isaiah lived in a time of moral decline and political upheaval. The northern kingdom of Israel had fallen, and the southern kingdom of Judah was struggling. Amidst this backdrop, Isaiah's calling takes on a deeper meaning. It's a call for renewal, not just for Isaiah, but for a nation straying from its covenant with God. Isaiah's vision of divine majesty and holiness is critical. In a time when the earthly kings of Israel and Judah had led the people astray, Isaiah's vision redirects focus to the true King, the Lord Almighty. It's a powerful reminder that, in every age, amidst human failure and sin, God remains sovereign and holy. Confronted with God's holiness, Isaiah becomes acutely aware of his own sinfulness and the sinfulness of his people. "Woe is me," he cries. His confession is more than personal guilt, it's a reflection of a people who have lost their way. Isaiah's recognition of his unworthiness is a crucial step in understanding salvation. Before we can grasp the beauty of grace, we must confront the reality of our sin. The next moment is as dramatic as it is symbolic. One of the seraphim touches Isaiah's lips with a live coal from the altar, saying, "Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." This act of purification foreshadows the ultimate atonement that would come through Christ. Just as the coal cleansed Isaiah, so does Christ's sacrifice cleanse us from our sins, making us worthy to stand before God. With Isaiah's sins forgiven, God asks, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" Isaiah's response, "Here I am, send me," is a turning point. It signifies willingness, not just to receive God's grace, but to participate in God's redemptive work. This echoes the Christian call to not only embrace salvation, but also to become messengers of God's grace. Isaiah is to preach a message of judgment and a call to repentance. Yet, within this message, there's also hope. The promised remnant is often seen as a symbol of the church, the bearers of hope, in a world marked by spiritual desolation. Isaiah's calling is profoundly Christ-centric. The themes of holiness, sin, atonement, and mission are all fulfilled in Jesus. Christ is the King whom Isaiah saw, the one who atones for sins and calls us to join in his redemptive mission. Like Isaiah, we are called to witness God's holiness, acknowledge our sinfulness, receive his atonement, and engage in his mission. We are to live lives transformed by God's grace. We are also part of the larger body of Christ, called to spread the message of salvation. That's the end of our first episode in our search for Jesus in the book of Isaiah. Remember that God calls you not only to live, but to thrive. Live life to the full today.